Old Testament reading for this first Sunday after Christmas is from Exodus chapter 13. You can find it on page 55 of the hymn Bible if you want. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When he brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all the first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with the lamb, or if you do not redeem it, you shall break its neck. The firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does it mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery.' For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Colossians chapter 3. It's on page 984 in the Pew Bible. "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts might be revealed." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Lots of stuff between last Sunday and today, but we talked about the difference between fortune and blessing. We want good fortune. The gifts of fortune being a full Christmas tree or a life of leisure. Bad fortune, which is just as likely as good fortune, the wheel always turns, we'd like to avoid. But the truth of all fortune is that good or bad, it really can't make us happy. We think it can. But fortune isn't purpose. Fortune promises nothing it can't take away. In fact, fortune promises us nothing. She doesn't even know who we are. Instead, happiness or even joy is found in purpose. They are not found in fortune itself, but in our response. Blessing. Come from someone who knows you. Blessing promises something eternal. Blessing always starts as a promise which moves towards its fulfillment. And if we've received the blessing, it ends in praise. The description of Mary and Joseph is of conscientious Jews, if not fortunate ones. It was time for their purification. The there is Joseph and Mary. Birth, according to the ceremonial law, required cleansing. And since they were in Bethlehem instead of Nazareth, and maybe because of lack of funds required to hire the midwife, Joseph probably served as such. Mary and Joseph required their purification, which the two turtle doves, the specified offering of the poor, took care of. But Jesus, the firstborn, was not redeemed. The firstborn could be redeemed according to the law. God claimed them, but if they were not redeemed, they were consecrated to the Lord. Mary and Joseph, like Hannah bringing Samuel, bring Jesus to consecrate him. Not a fortunate picture, but one of blessing. A child has a purpose and the promise. And into that picture of promise comes Simeon. Somewhere in his years, Simeon too had been blessed. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The blessing came from someone who knew him, the Holy Spirit. It came with a promise, you will see the Christ. And it asked him to live towards fulfillment. Let's pause for a second to think what possible responses one could have to blessing. First, sure, yawn, and to just ignore it. I'm more interested in finding my fortune. This is probably the largest response to the blessings of God. We've heard the invitation to the wedding feast, but we've just bought a piece of land. Or we've just gotten married ourselves. Or various other excuses that we make up when we hear it. We really don't have the time or inclination for such things. And so the blessing is not received. Second one, believe it. But the promise doesn't tell us how it is to be fulfilled. Maybe the fulfillment of it means I have to seek out the Christ or I have to do something myself to see it. By my own power, I need to force it. T.S. Eliot's poem, The Journey of the Magi, imagines something like this. A magi has gone on the trek. He's seen the baby, but he's not sure what he has seen. It's changed him. He'd do it again, but not sure to what purpose, life or death. If we set out under our own power, we might not be fulfilling the purpose of the blessing. Last one. Luke describes Simeon in a particular way. He was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him in this. Living out of the blessing as Simeon was, is that interesting balance. He was righteous and devout. These are things that a person blessed with the promise is called to be. And God does tell us what this part is. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? But attempting to find or fulfill, or to hurry along the promises of God is not the calling. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. God will make it plain. The first, that preparation, that righteousness and devoutness takes place in regular time, and it keeps our eyes open, so that when the appointed time comes, we can see it. That is what Simeon sees. He sees the fulfillment of his blessing. He sees the fulfillment of the promise. And when he sees it, his response is praise. My eyes have seen your salvation. Now, Anna's story is the same story. Luke, in his gospel, loves to tell them in pairs, male and female, Jew and Gentile. It's a pattern to his gospel. She also has latched on to the promise of Israel's consolation. And at that very hour when she has seen it, she begins to give thanks to God. Both Anna and Simeon, in their praise, give us our blessings. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother. So what are the blessings of Simeon and Anna? I think there are a couple of parts. In many ways, it's the confirmation of Mary's song. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. But Simeon links this specifically to Jesus and Israel. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that the thoughts for many hearts may be revealed. Rising and falling in Israel is not about fortune. Rising and falling in Israel is not as the world thinks about these things. Rising and falling in Israel is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who stood against it, the chief priests, would soon see the destruction of their temple. The apostles, meanwhile, would proclaim the message to the ends of the earth, gathering in all of Israel. Sometimes it looks like good fortune, but the blessing itself is not fortune. It's the receiving of God. It's the rising, the ingathering of all Israel. Jesus, and everywhere he appears, is a blessing, a promise, and a sign that is opposed. In the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, in the word proclaimed, these are signs of contradiction. They're appointed for the rising and falling because they reveal hearts. Is the one promised the present Lord? Is Jesus the consolation of Israel? Whether we gather in cathedrals or in catacombs, is this one our consolation? God is not mocked. Hearts are revealed in this way. The great division takes place in this world. And it takes place over him. When Jesus says he's not come to bring peace, but a sword, this is the sword. The gospel division. Many receive him and become children of God. Some do not. The second part of Simeon's blessing is given to Mary. And a sword will pierce through your own soul. Mary would have to witness this with her own son on that cross. One only needs to look at a Pietà to understand the promise to her. But Mary is just as often the image of the church. The very person most precious to the church is violently rejected by the world. The sword pierces our souls too. The fulfillment of the promise, the revealing of hearts, is not without its sorrows. But this is the living out of the calling. Simeon and Anna had been waiting for the consolation of Israel a long time. John Calvin has a poignant comment about this bustling scene at the temple. The remnant of those who still look to God to deliver Israel must have been very small. Those who look to God for blessing and not for a magical talisman of fortune must have been small. Simeon and Anna, though, received the blessing. And when they saw the fulfillment, they praised God. coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Maybe the remnant wasn't as small as Calvin worried about. But we here, joining a long train of people throughout the time, are the heirs of the blessings of Jesus, heirs of the promise. We are likewise called to live out of that promise, to be ready to see the promise's fulfillment, to be wise enough to understand its swords, but to be like Jesus, to grow and become strong, filled with wisdom, because the favor of God is upon us. If we receive him, we are blessed of God. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's testimony to us in word and in sacrament. You are receiving God. You've been given something eternal by someone who knows you personally. Not fortune, but a blessing. Promise. Live out of that Christmas promise, waiting for its consolation. Amen.